Chapter 13. Early one morning, I received a phone call ordering me to report immediately to the pyre for the purpose of bringing back to number one crematorium all the medicines and eyeglasses that had been collected there. After being sorted and classified, they would be shipped to various parts of Germany. The pyre was located about 500 or 600 yards from number four crematorium, directly behind the little birch forest of Birkenau, in a clearing surrounded by pines. It lay outside the Katzet's electric barbed wire fence between the first and second line of guards. Since I was not authorized to venture so far from the actual confines of the camp, I requested some sort of written permission from the office. They issued me a safe conduct, good for three persons, for I planned on taking two men with me to help carry the material back to the crematorium. We set off in the direction of the thick, twisting spiral of smoke. All those unfortunate enough to be brought here saw this column of smoke, which was visible from any point in the Katzet, from the moment they first descended from the boxcars and lined up for selection. It was visible at every hour of the day and night. By day it covered the sky above Birkenau with a thick cloud. By night it lighted the area with a hellish glow. Our path took us past the crematoriums. After showing the SS guards our safe conduct, we passed through an opening cut in the barbed wire and reached an open road. The surrounding countryside, a patchwork of bright green grassy clearing, seemed peaceful. But soon my watchful eyes discerned, about 100 yards away, the guards of the second line, either lounging on the grass or sitting beside their machine guns and police dogs. We crossed a clearing and came to a small pine forest. Once again, we found our way blocked by a fence and gate strung with barbed wire. A large sign, similar to those on the crematorium gates, was posted here. Entrance is strictly forbidden to all those who have no business here, including SS personnel not assigned to this command. In spite of this sign, we entered without the guards even asking us for our pass. The reason was simple. The SS guards on duty here were from the crematoriums, and the 60 Sonderkommando men who worked at the pyre were also crematorium personnel from number two. At present, the day shift was on. They worked from 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening. When they were replaced by the night watch, which also consisted of 60 men, taken from number four. Passing through the gate, we reached an open place which resembled a courtyard, in the middle of which stood a thatched roof house whose plaster was peeling off. Its style was that of a typical German country house, and its small windows were covered with planks. As a matter of fact, it no doubt had been a country house for at least 150 years, to judge by its thatched roof, which had long since turned black, and its often replastered, flaking walls. The German state had expropriated the entire village of Birkenau, near Auschwitz, in order to establish the Katzet there. All the houses, with the exception of this one, had been demolished, and the population evacuated. What, in fact, must this house have been used for? Had it been meant to be lived in? In that case, partitions must have divided the interior into rooms. Or had it originally been one large room, without partitions, meant to be used as a hangar or storeroom? I asked myself these questions, but was unable to supply the answers. In any case, it was now used as an undressing room for those on their way to the pyre. It was here that they deposited their shabby clothes, their glasses, and their shoes. It was here that the surplus from the Jewish ramp was sent. That is, those for whom there was no room in the four crematoriums. The worst kind of death awaited them. Here there were no faucets to slake the thirst of several days' voyage, no fallacious signs to allay their misgivings, no gas chamber which they could pretend was a disinfecting room. Merely a peasant house, once painted yellow and covered with thatch, whose windows had been replaced by planks. Behind the house, enormous columns of smoke rose skyward, diffusing the odor of broiled flesh and burning hair. In the courtyard, a terrified crowd of about 5,000 souls. On all sides, thick cordons of SS, holding leashed police dogs. The prisoners were led 300 or 400 at a time into the undressing room. There, hustled by a rain of truncheon blows, they spread out their clothes and left by the door at the opposite side of the house, yielding their places to those who were to follow. Once out the door, they had no time even to glance around them or to realize the horror of their situation. A Sonderkommando immediately seized their arms and steered them between the double row of SS who lined the twisting path, which, flanked on either side by woods, ran for 50 yards to the pyre, which till now had been hidden by the trees.